is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, I said to somebody today, and please don't take me wrong, prepare to hear something shocking. I said, most people, they just choose to live in a stupid state of mind. Why? When you can choose to be the best you can be, why do we sit there and continuously make stupid decisions? And I mean, it's true. Think about it. Think about your own self. You look at your life and you're like, oh, why didn't I do this and why didn't I do that? Because you didn't choose to do this or choose to do that. You were sitting there being okay with your lot in life. I'm not okay with my lot in life. I am not okay with it. So I look for other people that are not okay with it, that are trying to scale the walls of life to get out of the pit that we've been cast into, the computer virus that has been downloaded into us that makes us think we're not good enough when we are. And we prove that to ourselves when we try to get out of that stupid state of mind. We're smart human beings. We're smart creatures. We're not goats. We're not dogs. We're human beings. God gave us the ability to really make a difference in this universe. But you know what? You gotta stop doing the same thing over and over again. What is the definition of insanity? Is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Stop it, people. That's what Entrepreneur is all about, is to help you get out of that pit that you've somehow fell into or were cast into. So I try to find people that are tired of that same old thing over and over again and not getting a different outcome. They expect to get a different outcome, but they just never do because it's insanity that we live in over and over again. No, no, we've got to think differently. Okay, so what do? I'm on a search, a constant search like you are. That's why you're listening to this right now. You're like that knucklehead Alan Taylor. He's got somebody else that might help me find the stronghold to get out of this thing I'm in, this unhappiness, this lot in life that has been handed to me. Now I'm going to give it back and I'm going to grab another one. You know, even in cards, you know, if you get a bad hand, you're like, fold. I'll wait till the next game and I'll pick up another set of, or I'll throw these two away. You know, I'll take two, you know, hit me. Well, somebody needs to hit you in the face sometimes to wake you up. Tommy Baker's on the line with me. He is an interesting fellow I met at the Meltdown event in Arizona recently. And I had been up 24 hours and I was so exhausted that I said to him right in the middle of the interview, I'm like, all right, it's your turn now. We're going to flip it. You interview me. And the reason was because my brain was going blank, and that was the only thing I could come up with was I'm going to flip it. He's got a podcast called Resist Average Academy. That's his podcast. He's also got a book, Unresolution. And then he's got a virtual coaching platform called Idea to Profit. He's 30 years old. This guy is making a difference in this world because he's not just sitting there expecting. I'll tell you something. My mother-in-law said to me this one day. She goes, wise man say, man sit for long time with mouth wide open, waiting for roast duck to fly in. It ain't going to happen. And so, Tommy, I say, you're one of those guys, you're not sitting there with your mouth hanging open, waiting for a roast duck to fly in. I love it. I love where you come from. I've been watching you since we met a few weeks back. You got to interview me last time. It was kind of a half-assed way of putting you on the air with half a brain tied behind my, actually half a brain completely asleep. But welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. And it was an improvisational moment and a challenge, but it kept me on my toes. And sometimes that's what we need in life.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said, to get off the sideline, sometimes we need that wake-up call. And so a pleasure to be here today.
So what do you think about what I just said? I have been known many a time to insult people by saying, you know, the average person may be sitting in that stupid place in their head where they just can't make a decision, so they just sit there in their comfort zone. It's a pretty harsh thing to say, isn't it?
It's harsh, but it's reality. And until we get radically honest with ourselves and where we are in our lives, you know, the key word that you said was choose. And when we open our eyes and understand that we do have a choice, and usually the slide to mediocrity is slow, nobody wakes up and says, you know, I'm gonna my goal is to be 45 pounds overweight. My goal is to be on my third divorce. Nobody says that, but it's a slow slide to mediocrity.
So you're exactly right. Oh my gosh, I love this guy. All right, so we're going to come back and find out about his book Unresolution, his podcast, and I got a little bit out of him last time, but I felt I needed to have him back. It's only fair. He's got a lot to say. I want to share it with you. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Radio.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. You know the name.
All right, the question is, are you guilty of living in that stupid state of mind? And look, I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just trying to be honest here. We do this to ourselves. We have to make choices to stop doing this to ourselves. That's what this show is all about. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about. You choose. You choose to go out and do something different. You know, you don't take the 9-to-5 job. I've said it before. People that are entrepreneur will work 100 hours a week not to have to work 40 hours a week for somebody else. They'll do it for themselves, 100 hours, and they won't really complain because you do what you got to do. You make the choice to do what you got to do to get the job done. And you're not worried if it takes all night long, 24 hours a day. And you do it with a smile. You're like, yeah, I've been up 24 hours a day. I'm sleeping now. It's like, that's how I go to sleep at night. I fall asleep before my head hits the pillow because I'm pretty tired usually. But you know what? I sleep good. Tommy Baker's with us. I had to apologize for doing an interview with him at the Meltdown in the Desert event where I was already up 20. I think I had been up 26 hours when I did the interview with you.
Yeah.
It was like crazy. So I didn't feel like I did you any justice. So I wanted to get you back on because you got so much to talk about. You're a young guy. You were in the fitness business, everybody. This guy, I was talking to him a little bit and I said, you know, what was a tipping point? He says, I had two businesses, two fitness businesses. And he says, the message outgrew the vehicle or the delivery mechanism. And I thought, man, 30 years old. That's not fair. You're so smart already. I suffered another 20 years past 30 to get to where you are. I didn't really start opening my eyes till I was about 50 one day. I'm like, I'm sick and tired of being stupid like this. And I started searching. So let's start right there. Let's go back to, you must have thought at some point you had a book in you or you needed a new, like you said, you had outgrown the vehicle or the delivery mechanism. Start right there where you finally said, I'm sick and tired of this. I got to do something different. What was going on in your life right there? And I want to also know, how old were you right there?
Yeah, at that point, I was 26 and I had started my fitness business and had grown it. And in my mind, you know, this was my path. This was my purpose. I wanted to have, you know, 100 locations nationwide. That was my thing.
Yeah, ambitious. Yep.
Yeah. We got to two locations and, you know, very successful. But I started to get this. I started to look down the line. I started to really look out 5 years if I kept doing the things that I was doing with my business.
All right. Hold on. I love that. It's like, all right, we're going to have 100 stores, everybody. 1, 2. Okay, that's enough.
Exactly. Well, I started to say, like, why am I doing this? Is it just
reevaluation. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think and Alan, this is so important in life and for anyone listening. It's important to just constantly take inventory of our path and what we're doing and just be aware of the road that we're taking and ask ourselves, is this really what I want? So, you know, fast forward, I got to a place where that was yes, 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 yes. And then one day it was, I still love it, but it's not what I want to keep doing the next 5, 10, 15, and 20 years.
Yeah.
And throughout that experience, I collected a skill set and a mindset that allowed me to create another vehicle of delivery for my message.
Mm. That delivery vehicle was what?
The growth of a podcast, a book, content around a new message, which, you know, during all my years in the fitness industry, I saw the same, you know, fitness is very, it's all, you know, it's all 100% mindset and it's very easy to see that. And so I'd get these people come in every year, you know, every resolution, they'd come in, set New Year's resolutions and be all excited and, you know, give me a chunk of money and they were going to be committed and all in. And then a few weeks later, they would fall off. And so
hence the name of the book, Unresolution.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And I really wanted to take the principles that worked so well in people who had come to me after 10, 15 years of the same patterns, and using my principles, we were able to get them to a place where they stayed committed and they saw results over the long term. Same thing with entrepreneurship, right? There's a lot of paralysis by analysis and, you know, creating these false movies in our heads. And instead of taking action, we're just thinking, well, what if I do that? And what if this, what without taking the action first? So
let me write that down. Paralysis by analysis. I like it.
And really what the paralysis by analysis is a feedback mechanism for the fear of stepping into the unknown.
Hmm. I like it. I want to know more, and there is more. We've got more time, but because we are a nationally syndicated radio show, we have to take these things called commercial breaks. For the podcast, you folks, you'll just hear a tiny bit of music, and it'll come right back in. So stay with us, everybody. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Got one on the line, and I'm reeling him in. Tommy Baker. Find out more about him at ResistAverageAcademy.com. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me.
This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talking to Tommy Baker, ResistAverageAcademy.com. That's his podcast. He swears he's going to have me on, but he hasn't yet. We'll see what happens, evidently. His book is The Unresolution. Unresolution. And he, because he had a fitness company, he saw people making that kind of New Year's resolution. He's like, you're lying to yourself and you're stuck in that stupid space we were talking about where we lie to ourselves. And I'm guilty of this, man. I had my whole company around me the other day and we were sitting there doing, just a company talk. And I go, all right, what's the one thing you guys want to change about yourself? What's one thing? Oh, well, I eat too much sugar. Yeah, I eat too much sugar. I eat too much, you know, smoke. I want to stop smoking. There, kind of everybody was being pretty honest about everything, right? One person didn't want to say. And so my thing was, hey, I love ice cream, man. I love ice cream. So I got home that night, and man, that ice cream was calling my name. It's like I have a refrigerator that's like a drawer. You know, I remodel my house, and I have all these cool things. And so the drawer was like shaking and trembling every time I walked by it. And the ice cream's in there going, Alan, we're in here. Get us out of here. You know, it was like so funny. It was like a movie, right? I succumbed. I had to have some ice cream. And it was like, so then the next day I come to work and one of my guys, I go in and sit next to him because he's our graphics designer guy. And he's sitting there and he's eating a salad. He goes, look, see, it worked. Because we were all thinking, well, if we just talk about it a little bit. But you know what? We get stuck in that dumb place where we're not ready to make a commitment. Not a resolution BS, a commitment. And, so when I'm done with this ice cream, this 4 or 5 gallon ice cream thing I got going on right now in my fridge, I'm going to think about doing a commitment. I'm going to have to call you up, Tommy.
And I'm going to hold you to it. And the reason you succumbed to it was because it was probably the end of the day and your willpower was extremely low.
Yeah. True story, man. Chocolate ice cream with chunks of chocolate in it. Who could resist that?
After a long day, you've made thousands of decisions. It's just going to scream out at you and you're just going to go all in.
I tell you. So the book, give me a couple. What are your favorite chapters of Unresolution, your book?
Yeah, definitely. My favorite chapters. So one is a concept that you and I and everybody out there has what I call a success capacity. And I like to think of it as a thermostat for how great we're willing to feel. And this happens, you know, financially, how much we're able to make, et cetera, et cetera. And as we get closer to that threshold, we actually start to get quite uncomfortable. And I see this over and over with people who are committed to changing, but they get really close to that threshold and then they find a way to self-sabotage because there's a tape recorder in their head that says, life can't be this good. This can't be that easy. Like, I have to struggle. And so they'll find a way to sabotage themselves and go back to a comfortable place that's known.
Right.
So that's one of my favorite concepts in the book.
Right. So saw a book one time called Surviving the Comfort Zone, right? And the problem is that we get caught in that comfort zone, that stupid place, you know, which I call – because I'm pissed at it, so I call it a stupid place, right?
Of that, yes.
And I am so pissed at that stupid place inside of me That is my next thing, is how to overcome my own stupidity, which is, and I think this is what we're talking about, this whole unresolution and paralysis by analysis. I don't want to think about it too much. I need to just come up with a plan, follow the plan. And you guys probably learned that in the fitness world. You got to have your daily workout, or you got to work certain muscles each day, and, you know, and start over again 3 days later. And I don't know however it works, because I'm 5 foot fat and I don't work out enough. But at you at 30 years old, being in the fitness industry, you know what I'm talking about there. I've got to come up with a plan. So if you could help Alan Taylor with your Idea to Profit virtual coaching program platform, what would you tell me? Where would I start if I was your subject for the day?
The place that I would start would actually be to really discover what your why is. And I find out that if we have a really surface area why, a lot of times people set goals and they're not even their own goals. They're just what they think somebody else wants for them, or maybe somebody else has told them they should do. So if I can't find a deep-rooted why, I used to do this in the fitness industry, the person would be across from me and they'd say, I just want to feel better. And so I had to go deep and define that and ultimately discover their why by asking the question over and over. And then they would say, because I want to be around for my kids long term and leave a legacy. Now, right. That's a why. That's a why that's going to get you out of bed at 6 a.m. when you don't want to go to the workout, right? And that's the first step, finding your deep-rooted why.
Okay. Is that because you read Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why?
Not necessarily, because that came after. I always want to find a grounded source for somebody to have something powerful, because whether we're starting a business or looking for, like, we all have these deep-rooted whys, but we don't express them to other people.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Okay. Express yours to me. What's your why?
Yeah. My why is that I want to get to the end of this experience that we got life. We got an average of 25,000 days, which is not a lot of time. And I want to get to the end of this experience, my last couple breaths, last couple days, whatever it may be, with my loved ones around me, and be able to answer the question, did I do everything I could with everything I was blessed to have and experience? And I want that answer to be a resounding yes.
Wow.
It's really about fulfilling my potential, because I'm blessed. We're all blessed. If we live in the USA right now, we're already in the 1%, you know, and we always think about what's missing or what's not. Listen, I grew up in a third world country half my life. There is minimal opportunity there. There's no class mobility. If you're in the lower class, it doesn't matter how hard you work. It just literally doesn't matter. So we forget how blessed we are to even just be here and have the opportunities that surround our experience every day.
Mm. Love it. So I guess I would say, let's see, what is my why? I want to find out what God put me here to do. What is my purpose? We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Radio.
Like it's time for a change.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
Start thinking that I'm strange.
Listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
In your life, you should have many mentors. Many, many, many throughout your life. Some you may have for your whole life. Somebody you love. I got a phone call right in the middle of this interview in a commercial break there, and my buddy I've been friends with for going on 44 years. He's like my brother. Would I call him a mentor? No. But do we discuss life together? Yes. It's important. So this radio show is to introduce you to people that can be a mentor or to help you, because, you know, sometimes I have people that are hard to get a hold of, difficult. Maybe they've reached that place of fame where they're impossible to get a hold of. But there's guys like Tommy Baker that are doing a great job. Resist Average Academy that I believe is accessible. So what I want to do is bring to the table accessibility. And I have found lots of people that are accessible. So Tommy's accessible for you. So if you get that spark and you get that motivation, Tommy says to me, start with why. What is my why? Simon Sinek. You guys can look up Simon. His book is Start With Why. I have it. A friend of mine gave it to me. I haven't read it yet. But let me tell you, I get books in the mail. I get them brought to me. They get dropped off at our front desk. I have the most amazing library of anybody, but I am like a librarian that is blind. I am in the library, but I can't read any book, and I don't know how to do Braille. So what I do is I talk to people like you, and I learned through that. I have so many wonderful books. I started reading Think and Grow Rich. I got about halfway through it, and I was like, I get it. I get it. It's not Think and Grow Rich. It's Think and Grow Rich, because you will find wisdom in that thinking. So, Tommy, if people get that spark and then they don't know where to go, I'm trying to make you accessible to them. And I believe that you are, because you have so many good things going on with your podcast, Resist Average Academy, and your book, Unresolution, and your ability through your virtual coaching platform, Idea to Profit, that you, as a young man, are accessible. So where do they go? They get the spark. They call Tommy. What's next?
The next, it's the most important part. It's minimizing and collapsing the time from the moment we get the spark to the moment we execute on that idea, that vision, that inspiration. So as an example, I always knew I had a book in me and several books. My goal is to do 10 plus through the years. But
oh, wait a minute. You wanted 100 fitness workout places and you got to 2 and went, all right, enough of that crap.
Right. We got to aim big, right? We got to aim big.
Right. Think big. That's right. Okay, continue.
But the moment that I got that clear vision for the book, the clear vision, which was going to be Unresolution, because I was so tired of seeing people go through this over and over and tell me that because a digit went from 6 to 7 to 8 to 9, whatever it may be, that that was the reason they're going to make change.
Right.
I got the idea, and then I started writing that day. And so we have to minimize the time from the moment we get the spark to the moment that we get started, or else you and I don't know what's going to happen. Procrastination, we're going to put it off, we're going to get distracted. And especially if it's a long-term project, a book is, for me, it took me 7 months to get it all set up, right? And so that's a long-term project. But anything that we're going to do in life, whether we want to get in great shape or launch a platform or, you know, finally leave our job and create an entrepreneurial business, that's going to require years and years of effort. So you got to take that first step, because only then is it when you solidify it in your mind as something real instead of just an idea.
So interesting, because I did a show, a radio show, as I'm a radio guy, radio and TV stuff. And I don't write. Everybody's like, you need to write a book about your life, man. It's so interesting. So part of that interesting story I'll share with you for a moment. I did a radio show with a rock star, a guy named Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, the band ZZ Top, right? I'll play a piece of music on the way out. And I hung around with this amazing, amazing human being, Billy Gibbons. They call him the preacher or something. They gave him because he's like this decent guy, really decent guy, loving, caring, cares about other people, always trying to do kind things. And the reverend, that's what they call him, the reverend.
He's got a beard, big beard.
Yeah, they're all, well, they're two of them have beards, Billy and Dusty. And the other guy, Frank, who is part of the kind of the bearded crew, is named Frank Beard, and he doesn't have a beard. That's what's funny. Anyway, point is that the one thing that Billy told me that has stuck with me since I did that radio show for 1 year in between his national tours with ZZ Top, and it was 2007. We did a show called Monster Radio, and I was at his house, beautiful house up off of Sunset that was his father's house, who was the guy, believe it or not, he comes from an artistic family. His father was the sculptor that actually sculpted the Oscar, you know, the actual Oscar, his father was, so it's like little known facts, right? And he says to me, I said to him one day, I go, what is the most valuable thing that you have learned along the way in life? And he starts telling me this amazing story about how he'd been up to the Buddhist monks up in, you know, in the high mountains with the Beatles. He went there with the Beatles.
Ow.
And he says, and we smoked hash and did all this. And I was like, whoa, he's telling me like too much TMI. Cause you know, I only want to know the learning bits, right?
The wisdom.
Yeah. And so he says, you know, I learned a lot there. He says, you know, but he goes, the one thing that I learned that had the most value that I could pass on to somebody, I'm going to share with all you guys right now while I play his little piece of music from ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons. I say thank you, Billy Gibbons, for this piece of advice that has been one of my favorites, which is always have a notepad of some sort. He has these little notepads and something to write on so that when you get an idea, write it down. Now, we have these smartphones and we can do it, but he said write it down. And he showed me, he pulls his mattress up and he had a little notepad under his mattress because he says, I always get these great ideas in my sleep and then I go, oh, I'll remember that tomorrow. And he goes, and I forget it. So I have always made sure I write my ideas down, whether they're in the middle of the night or whatever it is. So there you go. That's him in the background, Billy Gibbons, ZZ Top, My head's in Mississippi. Tommy, you've been really great to talk to. Make sure you get yourself a little notepad now and stick it under your bed.
Hey, that's brilliant advice. And you can use notepads. You can use audio notes.
That's right.
Document it, right?
That's it. All right. ResistAverageAcademy.com. Check out Tommy Baker, also his podcast. That's his podcast, his book, Unresolution. And coming up next, we're going to talk with my friend Rachel Lee Coppola about her Ramsey Mulholland Events. It's an event company with a humanitarian twist. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Take it away, Billy.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
Of an invisible 7-Eleven.
Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
So I'm doing a FaceTime with a friend of mine, Rachel Lee Coppola. She's founder of Ramsey Mulholland Events. And I go, so what is it you do? I mean, I know you're successful. Look at that smile on your face. And she starts to tell me, and I go, well, you got kind of a cool event production company going on with a humanitarian twist. And I said, let's talk about that on the radio, because it's possible to do business, make money, and give back to the world all at the same time if you build it in, you design it in to have that purpose. And that's what Rachel has done. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah, I knew you'd be smiling. If you could see her big rack of shiny, pearly whites, you guys would go, wow, those are nice teeth. So, Rachel, tell the world about RME. Presents.com. That's Rachel from Ramsey Mulholland Events, RMEPresents.com. This is the coolest thing. It's an events production company, I said, with a humanitarian twist. Did I describe it properly?
You did. So basically what we do is we take between 10 to 20 aspiring musicians and we give them a platform to showcase their music. And then we invite an A&R rep from one of the major record labels, and they get a chance to showcase their music in front of their family and friends and network with that record label individual. So that's kind of what we do. We do this in about 30 cities across North America right now, and every month we're adding new cities across the board. So this is something that we are so incredibly passionate about. We also not only are in showcases, we're also in colleges. So we've got many colleges lined up, and what we do is 100% of the ticket sales go directly to the college. 50% of the ticket sales go to the music department to help it grow, and 50% of the other ticket sales go to the sororities, fraternities, and the clubs for helping us to promote the event.
Okay, but wait a minute. I thought you guys actually make money on this. If you just gave away 100% of the ticket sales.
For our college events, they're more of a give back.
Wow.
And we will make a little bit of money off of the sponsorship. However, there's also another humanitarian twist. A portion of the sponsorships also go to charities. So I've got a couple of charities. We've got local charities that we support. And we also have my absolute favorite, which is called the Aslan Noel Children's Home. And so that's something that I, as a family, as a business, that's kind of my top charity that I support. So as a business, we also support other local charities as well.
This is so cool. I mean, you guys and your partner, there's obviously a partner or partners or people involved. Who else is involved?
So I have Mark Pokenroth and Gianluca Gibbons.
And you guys all sat down and said, all right, we want to make money. We love money. Yeah, who doesn't love making money? We got to make money to exist. Yeah. But we want to make sure also that there is this give back, this pay it forward, this warm and fuzzy feeling that we get out of going to work every day, because we know that, yes, we're making money, we've got to make money, but also we are perpetuating these things like, you know, the children's home or whatever the charity is. I really love that. I think that is admirable, and I think that more people need to think like that. Thank you, and Mark, and the other guy, I can't remember his name, but thank you for... I'm not going to remember that. You know me. I got short, small brain, fat. I'm 5 foot fat with a small brain. So that's why I just ask the questions. I don't come up with the answers. That's your job. But I really appreciate what you guys do, because I'm a selfish pig. I should do more of that. I'm going to have to hang around you more.
I can definitely help you in that area.
Okay. Actually, you know what I do? Here's how we all try and give back a little something. I use our unsold inventory to promote charities, right? Like we have the Little Rock Foundation for pediatric kids that are blind, because I have a friend who has a child that was born blind. And this kid is a music savant. I mean, he'd pick up almost any instrument and just play it immediately. He can sing. He's a young guy. He's blind. He goes to college. He's completely independent. And it's amazing. I believe he sung for Obama. I'm talking about, you know, I want to support that kind of stuff. I want to support people like that. And I also do the Austin Hatcher Foundation. So for a moment, I take a moment to give myself and the foundations that I work with a plug. But what I do is I use my unsold inventory, because with radio mm-hmm. is a perishable product. So every week, the commercials, right. We got to put something there. And it's funny. This has a viral effect, because I notice a friend of mine calls up the other day. He goes, "Hey, I'm in Vegas and I just heard your voice for this Austin Hatcher Foundation." And I'm like, "In Vegas?" I go, "Well, what time was it?" He goes, "Like 2 o'clock in the afternoon." I'm like, "Really?" Because I thought, I'm not on 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. I'm on the weekends, right? And so I called the network and I said, "Hey, man," they go, "Oh, no, your commercial was so good. We use it also as a public service announcement." And I thought, see, that's the good. That's the kind of pay it forward, the viral effect of when you do good. Other people hear that and they want to support that. That's why when I heard about your guys' company, Ramsey Mulholland Events, I said, that's got a good humanitarian twist to it. I want to talk to the world about that. So,
thank you. You
guys also have an amazing events company besides the fact that it does good. And I love the fact that you wove that together into the fabric of your life and your business. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So talk about some of the events coming up.
So we have right now, we have 10 shows booked for September all across the country. We have 10 shows booked for October, and we have 10 for November and 10 for December. So every month we have 10 different shows across the country. You can check out the website as well. The website has every single one of our events and where they are in that city for that month.
All right. It's RME, like Ramsey Mulholland Events, RMEPresents.com. And you know what?
Yes.
You give love a good name. I know this is Bon Jovi and he's saying you give love a bad name, but you give love a good name. All right. Rachel, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear, for the podcast, beware, because you're listening to segment by segment, but you want to hear my friend Chase Jarvis from Creative Live. We do a segment with him every week. He answers questions. So if you're listening to the podcast, find it. Chase Jarvis, he's coming up next right here on our national radio station. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, I am so proud to be involved with this brand. Entrepreneurs are problem solvers, and we bring a lot of them to the table to help you solve your problems. And this segment we dedicate each week to my friend Chase Jarvis from his Daily Creative, and we'll get to him in just a moment. Don't forget also that we do a video series called Business and Burgers. You can find businessandburgers.com on the web. And you can watch any of the great episodes. As a matter of fact, Chase Jarvis is one of our guys that we interviewed. We've done so many fun interviews with guys like Rudy from the movie Rudy. Also on CBS, you'll see the show called Scorpion. And we interviewed Walter O'Brien, who is the Scorpion. Again, that's businessandburgers.com on the web, part of the Entrepreneur Network. All right, it is time for some more question and answers here on Entrepreneur Radio with my friend Chase Jarvis. Chase is the co-founder of Creative Live, the world's leading online education platform for creatives and entrepreneurs like you and me. You can find Chase in everything he does, along with over 10,000 hours of creative content featuring some of the icons of our industry, Richard Branson, Mark Cuban, Tim Ferriss, and many, many others, at creativelive.com. All right, it's now time to answer some of those questions. This question is from Kevin, and Kevin wants to know, with all the content that is out there, pictures and videos and all music and all that kind of stuff, how do you find your personal style and make yourself unique? And here is Chase to answer that question.
Kevin, good question. Personal style is massively critically important. The way you do that is by putting more of yourself into the work. The example that I give is if you take a picture of the Grand Canyon, there's been a billion, million pictures of the Grand Canyon. What have you done, lived, seen, not seen? What's your history, your family heritage, something that you can make a picture that is different than most or if not all of the other stuff? And the only way you can do that is you have lived a life that few or ideally no other people, and this maybe this the eternal return, some this is a Nietzsche here, but find what about you that you can consistently put in your work, and that is a point of view that you have based on your personal experience that would uniquely identify that. Now, that is the what. The how to do that is very hard. And here's why it's hard. Because you haven't made enough stuff. If you're asking me this question, that means I'm guessing you don't yet have a personal style. And you haven't made enough stuff to know what your stuff looks like before you even make it. To me, this is a really, it's an intriguing point of view. When I sit down to take a picture, I basically have my version of that picture in my head, and I start shooting, trying to achieve that. That's called the and when you can achieve that, the creative gap is zero. When you start out, where maybe where you're at, or I don't want to make too many assumptions, but the creative gap is large. This is a concept from Ira Glass. And the goal, as you get better at your craft, you reduce the creative gap until it's zero, and the picture that you can see in your mind, which is your signature, you, like the what you want to make, when you can make that, that is mastery. You can make that over and over and over. So you want to reduce the creative gap through mastering your skills. And then when you're at zero and you can consistently make the picture that you see or feel before you even sat down, and of course, you're going to learn as you're in the middle of the shoot or whatever, you're going to get inspired, but that's still, it comes from the thing. The answers are in here. This is what creatives don't understand. The answers are in here. The answers are not out there. That's imitation. That's how you master craft. You survey the landscape and try and get good at, oh, this technique and that technique. And remember, if you steal everything from one person, if you rip off their technique, that's stealing. But if you borrow a few things from everybody, put that through the filter of you, that's called research and application of your own personal style. And the way you know your personal style is if, you know, make something 1,000 times, not the same thing, make 1,000 things. And when you get to the thing that you know what it feels like, and you're just creating without thinking about it, not thinking about it, but it just, it's intuitive to you what you should do in this case, then you've developed your style. So to me, that's the most important thing that creatives can do, because that's the way you get hired. If you try and be everything to everybody, you're going to be nothing to nobody. And that's not a good way to make a living, for sure. If you want your question answered on this show, and you should, I've like grinded for years and years and years, and I have a lot of information in this brain and resources of friends and peers to help pass on to you. If you want to have your question answered on this show, call 802-962-4357. That actually is help. 802-962-4357, and leave me a voicemail. I would love to hear from you. I've just been popping these things out. I'm super excited to answer your questions, so please do so. And if you're from a foreign country, you just have to put +1.
And that's about it for this episode of Entrepreneur Radio. Don't forget, the phone number once again for Chase Jarvis is 802-962-4357, and we may be able to answer your questions right here on Entrepreneur Radio. So give him a call, and we'll be back next week to answer another question right here on Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Now it's time to go out and make it a great day. Kick some butt.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.